Well, this morning, just want to share with you something that the Lord has been restirring my heart with, fresh and anew. I want to talk to you about the most powerful people on the face of the earth. The most powerful people on the face of the earth. Go with me to two passages of Scripture. Go with me to James chapter 5 and Joshua chapter 10. James chapter 5 and Joshua chapter 10. James chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse, a familiar verse, verse 16. Verse 16. James 5, verse 16. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the part I really want to zero in is on this last sentence, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man and woman avails much. The effective fervent prayers of a righteous man, a righteous woman avails much. Now go with me to Joshua chapter 10. And just let Joshua chapter 10 sit upon your lap, and we will pray. Lord, I just thank you, God, that in the season that I'm in a time when I really need it, Lord, you are stirring my heart to remember the power of prayer. Father, you're one more time just leading me through the scriptures and affirming in my heart the power of prayer. God, I truly believe James 5:16 is the dividing line from people who pray and people who don't pray. When we truly believe that our prayers are effectual and move the hand of God, we will pray. But when we don't believe it, God, our prayer life is very shallow. But Lord, I'm just asking today, Lord, that through your word, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Lord, one more time, you'll just stir in our heart that if you'll call upon your God, that if you will pray, you will move the hand of God in your life and your circumstances you're facing and the will of God for your life, you will move the hand of God in powerful ways. God, I pray that one more time, Lord, you would just reignite in our heart a passion to be a people who pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness in our life. I thank you that for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit that anything regarding the inner working of God is produced within our life. It's not in our strength, it's in the Spirit of God. And we thank you for your ministry, Holy Spirit, in our life. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen? Amen. Let me begin by saying that when we read our Bibles, we truly discover that the most powerful people on the face of the earth are people of prayer. That people of prayer are able to move the hand of God in such a way that God moves and accomplishes things that kings and kingdoms are powerless to accomplish. You know, going all the way back to the Old Testament, we see that Israel's battles were not won by great men and great armies, but Israel's battles were won by people of prayer. You know, people like Hannah and Samuel, people like Esther and Elijah, people like Daniel and Nehemiah, that their battles were won by people who had a prayer life with God, that they were a people who literally rewrote history by their prayer life. In desperate times and in crisis where kings and kingdoms and kings' armies were powerless to change the crisis that they were in, it was people of prayer that came to God on their knees who brought that supernatural deliverance and freedom and a victory that they needed. It was people of prayer. And, you know, the Bible is filled with wonderful examples of incredible supernatural power of prayer. There's so many examples that we can talk about, but there's just one that's on my heart this morning, and that's found in Joshua chapter 10. Look with me at Joshua chapter 10. We're going to start at verse 9. So Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal, talking about the enemy. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. Verse 11, and it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azek, and they died. Look with me at verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord, and that word spoke in the Hebrew is actually the Hebrew word for pray. It means to pray. Then Joshua prayed to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. So in Joshua chapter 10, what's happening is Joshua and his army, they are right on the verge of winning a major battle. But as they are on the verge of annihilating the enemy, the Bible says that the sun is going down. And Joshua understands that if the sun goes down, it's almost impossible to fight a battle in complete darkness. And he's afraid that some of the enemy are going to manage to escape. They're going to be able to slip under the covers of darkness and find a place of escape. So the Bible tells us that Joshua prayed a prayer, and he commanded that the sun would stand still. And when he commanded that the sun would stand still in his prayer, the Bible says that the Lord honored that prayer, and it was as if time suddenly stopped. In fact, if you read through the story, it says that God held the sun still in the sky for almost the length of a whole day. It was as if at that moment, the sun had stood still in the sky, that time had suddenly stopped. And here's what I want us to take a moment to consider. When you really look at this, you know, what a huge prayer Joshua prayed. I mean, when you really look at it, what an outrageous prayer Joshua prayed. He prayed that the sun would stand still in the sky. I mean, have any of us ever prayed a prayer that big? Have we ever believed God for a prayer that big? But I want you to capture this. The Bible doesn't say that he just prayed, but he prayed with great authority. He actually commanded the sun to be still in the sky. Beloved, let me tell you something. That is authority in prayer. He is standing in this midst of a battle. His heart is suddenly filled with such authority in prayer, and he prayed with such authority. So we have to ask the question, because these stories are written for us. It's not to wow us about a man who prayed a prayer so big it stopped the sun in the sky. It's to encourage us that if Joshua prayed that big of prayers, you can pray that big of prayers. So we have to ask a question. We have to take a moment to just ask it. Where does the confidence come from to pray with such authority? Where does the confidence come from to pray with such authority-filled prayers? Where does that confidence come from? And there's two answers that the Lord put in my heart. The first answer we're going to find in 1 John chapter 5. So go with me to 1 John chapter 5. First John, it's right after Peter. Look with me at verse 14. We were answering the question, where does the confidence come from to pray with such authority in our prayers? 1 John chapter 5, look with me at verse 14. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So capture that. He says, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So here's our first answer. Where does the confidence come from to pray with such authority? And the answer is the will of God. The will of God. Listen, beloved, when you are walking in the will of God, I want you to capture this because it's so important. When you are walking in the will of God, there will be times the Holy Spirit will infuse the confidence in your heart to ask for outrageous prayers. There will be times when you're walking in the will of God, that's where the confidence comes from. You know the will of God for your life. You're walking in the will of God for your life. And there will be times that the Holy Spirit will come and infuse a confidence in your heart to pray with such authority. I'm walking in the will of God, and there's something in the will of God I'm in need of. There's something in the will of God I have got to have if the will of God is going to be fulfilled in my life. But yet it looks so big, it looks so outrageous, but the Holy Spirit will come, and he will infuse that confidence in your heart to pray with such authority because you're walking in the will of God. That is where the confidence comes from. I'm walking in the will of God. In other words, there's going to become times in your heart when the Holy Spirit is going to come to your heart and he's going to say, listen, you're going to need this. Don't be afraid to ask for it. Don't be afraid to believe for it. No matter how big it is, no matter how outrageous it is, if you need it to fulfill God's will on your life, then ask for it in great humility, filled with great authority. Amen. I'm telling you, this authority we're talking about, to pray big prayers for outrageous prayers, it's not something that you conjure up in your own heart. It's not something that we try to muster up in our own heart. It comes from walking with God in his will. And there are times, you know, you're going to need big answers to prayer to see the will of God fulfilled. And it's as you're walking in the will of God, the Holy Spirit just comes to your heart and he infuses that confidence in your heart. And he says, I know it's big. I know it's huge. I know it's outrageous. I know it's impossible, but it is the will of God. Pray for it. Amen. Where does the confidence come from? It simply comes with just walking in the will of God. And if I'm Joshua and the will of God for my life is to annihilate my enemies, then the Holy Spirit will inspire my heart to say, son, stand still, because this is what I need to see the will of God go forth in my life. It's not something that comes in this natural man. That comes with walking in the will of God. Amen. That's where the confidence comes from. Number two, where does the confidence come from to pray with such authority? Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27. Look with me at verse 18. Verse 18 says, but if they are prophets, now just stop there. Remember, prophets were simply a people who spoke by the Spirit of truth. In the New Testament, the Bible says that we are given the Spirit of truth. says in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy. So how many of us in here are filled with the spirit of Jesus? When we were saved, we were indwelt with the spirit of Christ, right? So just keep that in mind because that's how it applies in the New Testament. Now look with me at verse 18 again. It says, but if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. So just stop there. We just read these words. If they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. So we're answering the question, where does the confidence come from to pray with such authority? And answer number two is the word of God. Number one was the will of God. Number two is the word of God. You see, according to Jeremiah 17, when are we to make intercession to the Lord of hosts? Jeremiah 27:17 says, if the word of the Lord be with you. So let's ask this question. According to the Bible, not man's understanding, but according to the Bible, who are intercessors? Well, according to the Bible, intercessors are simply that people who have a life in the Word of God. That's an intercessor. It's someone who loves the Word of God and has a life in the Word of God. That is an intercessor. And beloved, here's my whole point. When God has something on his heart that he's ready to do, and he needs a people to pray, he will go to that church. Capture it, it's so important. He will go to that church that has a life in the Word of God. When God is ready something to do, remember it says, if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession. When there's something on God's heart, he's ready to do now. And he needs a people to pray. He will go to that congregation of people who have a life in the Word of God. And he, by the inspiration of his spirit, he will use the word to bring such authority into your prayers. Let me word it this way. This will make it easier. When you are in a place of intercession, when you are in a place of travailing prayer, have you ever noticed the Holy Spirit's very favorite thing to do? I mean, this is his favorite thing to do. Have you ever noticed when you are in a place of intercession and prayer, the Holy Spirit's very favorite thing he loves to do is bring scriptures to your heart and bring scriptures to your mind. I'm telling you, you are in a place of travailing prayer, and suddenly scriptures start coming out of your heart, scriptures start coming to your mind, and what happens? Like Joshua, you suddenly find yourself praying with great authority because the word of God is coming out of your mouth. It's as if the Holy Spirit inspires scriptures in your heart because he's inspiring authority in your prayers. I'm telling you, when you are in a place of prayer and you suddenly find yourself just praying the scriptures, praying things that are written in the Word of God, I'm telling you, you can't stand in a greater place of authority in prayer than that. And so when the Holy Spirit really wants to move, really wants to do something, when you go into that place of prayer, he just inspires these scriptures in your heart, and you find yourself like Joshua, praying with such authority because you're praying the word of God. Amen. Has anyone else ever noticed that? That when you're in a place of prayer, his favorite thing to do is just start bringing scriptures to your heart and scriptures to your mind. And you just suddenly find yourself just praying with such authority because the word of God is coming out with great authority. So when it comes to praying, just prayers that are filled with authority, it comes from walking in the will of God. And it comes from having a life in the word of God. You know, I think Daniel is my favorite example of Jeremiah. Chapter 27, it says, if the word of the Lord be with you, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts. He's just my favorite example of this. You know, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel, like Joshua, prayed a prayer that was so huge, so large, it actually moved kings and kingdoms to answer that prayer. Daniel prays a prayer that is so huge that God actually moves kings and kingdoms to release his people out of a place of captivity in their life, a very hopeless place. And let me just show this to you. Go with me to Daniel chapter 9. Look with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Let's answer a question. In Daniel chapter 9, we're going to see Daniel pray a prayer that was so huge. God moved kings and kingdoms to answer that prayer. But the question we have to ask is, what was the power behind Daniel's prayer? Well, we actually find that in verse 2. Look with me at verse 2. It says, in the first year of his reign, talking about Darius, I, Daniel, understood by the books. Stop there. There's the answer. What was the power behind Daniel's prayers? He said, I understood by the books. Listen, he's talking about the scriptures. He's talking about what we know to be Jeremiah 29:10. Jeremiah 29:10 says, after 70 years of captivity, I will release my people. Look with me at verse 2 again. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So Daniel's saying, he's talking about, this is what he's saying. He's actually saying, I was in the scriptures. And I happened to be reading what we know today as Jeremiah 29:10. And as I was in the scriptures, just renewing my mind again in the will of God, that after 70 years be accomplished, here's what he's saying. Suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon my heart. Listen, when you look at verse 3 on, only the Holy Spirit can inspire that kind of passion to pray. I mean, this man came under the burden of prayer through the word of God. In other words, here's my whole point. When the Holy Spirit needed to inspire Daniel's heart to pray, he used the scriptures. When the Holy Spirit needed to burden Daniel's heart to pray, he used the scriptures. In other words, Daniel is reading in Jeremiah, what we know to be 29:10. Suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and breathes life into the scripture. And Daniel suddenly found himself under the burden of the word. And under the burden of the word, capture this, he prayed a prayer that was so huge that it moved kings and kingdoms. Beloved, I'm telling you, here's what I guess what I'm trying to say. We're living in a time where the task God set before us is so huge. And our strength is powerless to accomplish it. If you call Summit Community Church your church, God has put a task upon this church that is so huge. Human strength is absolutely powerless. But here's what he's saying. Summit Community Church, I've given you a task. You have a world. You have a community you need to reach with the gospel. And your strength is powerless. But I've given you a gift, the power of prayer. And there are going to be times you're going to need to believe for the absolute impossible. Not just pray for the impossible, but to believe for the impossible. And let me tell you where that confidence is going to come from. When you're walking in the will of God, and when you have a life in the word of God. That is where your confidence will come from. Can I tell you something? If Summit Community Church is going to live up to its fullest potential, it must be a praying church. Only prayer will bring the supernatural power of God. If we're going to rely on just programs and nothing wrong with programs, but if we're just going to rely on programs, all we're doing is leaning on the arm of the flesh. And a lot of times we like to cover up our prayerlessness with busyness. But God is saying it's not your busyness that's going to produce much fruit. It's your dependency upon me in a life of prayer that's going to bring much fruit. And there are going to be times you're going to have to believe for the impossible. But the authority and the confidence to believe for the impossible is going to come from two things. Number one, are you walking in the will of God? Are you seeking His will over your own? Are you praying, not my will be done, but by the grace of God, your will be done? And secondly, it's going to come from having a life in the Word of God. When there's something impossible, but I want to do it, I look for that people who have a life in the Word of God, because that's where your authority to pray is going to come from. Beloved, God didn't call us to be a church just to have a service on Sunday, a Bible study on Thursday. He called us here to be a church for, number one, as a people to walk in intimacy with God and seek God together. But number two, to reach a world that's totally depraved and dark. That's why we're here. And the only way we're going to do that is through the power of prayer. Amen. Through the power of prayer. What's the purpose of this message? The purpose of this message is to remind us where our supernatural power lies as a church. Our supernatural power lies in one place. That's the power of prayer. You know, some years ago, I was invited by a pastor to come speak to his church and encourage his church because they were having to close their church doors. They had a few Sundays left, and they were going to close their church doors, and everyone was going to scatter and find another church. And the reason why they were having to close their church doors is because almost all the people left that church. They had no money. They had nothing to pay the bills, and they had no other choice but to close the doors. So the pastor invited me. He says, listen, before we close our doors, can you just come and encourage our people? Well, that Sunday before I was supposed to speak, I took a drive through the community that surrounded that little church. And you know what I saw? I saw alcoholism, I saw drug addiction, I saw divorce, I saw a high rate of pedophiles, I heard reports of teenage suicide, all in that little community that surrounded that church. And I began to cry out to the Lord, and I began to say, God, why are they having to close the doors? This community needs this little church. The community needs the life in this church. Why are they having to close the Lord's doors? And the Lord interrupted me suddenly, and He said, well, it's not because of finances. Well, it's not because of poor church membership. The reason why they're having to close their doors is because they don't pray. They do everything but pray. Tim, I want you to understand something. A dead church is nothing but a prayerless church. That's what it is. They're not closing the doors because they don't have members and because the money's not coming in. They're closing the doors because the church don't pray. And then the Lord gave me a challenge. He said, Tim, if you will tell them what I said, if you will tell them in much love and humility, but much boldness, if you will tell them what I said, and if they will receive it in their heart, I will raise their church from the dead. I will. So that Sunday morning, I stood in the pulpit in much fear and trembling. And I had said, I have a word from the Lord. God says your church is dying because you don't pray. You do everything but pray. But the Lord, as much humility as I can muster up, I'm telling you, the Lord is saying, if you will get back in the altar again, If you'll shut everything else down and just get back into the altar and begin to cry out to the Lord again in prayer, He will raise His church from the dead. So somebody would ask me, Pastor Tim, did they receive the word? They must have, because the last time I was in that church, there were three rows of ex-drunks and alcoholics and pedophiles. And their lives were being changed by the power of God. Beloved, the only hope our community has is a church that knows how to travail with God in the altars. That's the only hope it has. Please don't think horrible, gross sin is just found in the big cities. If we could go into the privacy of homes right around this church, we would be shocked at the sin and the bondage that is destroying so many lives. And the only hope that they have is not a church filled with programs. It's a church filled with prayer. So the question is, here's where I want to end this morning. The question is, when we pray, how do we pray? Go with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Another powerful, familiar, but very powerful story. You gotta love this story. The story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, but we're actually gonna pick it up at verse 38. Verse 38 says, and Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes in prayer and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. So in this story, Jesus is facing a tomb full of death. And what I want us to realize is this tomb represents the world right outside the four walls of our church. See, the world that lies right outside the four walls of our church, according to Ephesians, is dead in its trespasses and sins. And even though many people believe that they're doing what is right and doing what is good, here's what we got to understand. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. That's why he came. It says in Proverbs, it says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but thereof the ways of are of death. So this tomb represents all the death right outside the four walls of our church. And we got to ask the question, how did Jesus stand before this tomb full of death? Look with me at verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes in prayer and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. So how did Jesus stand before this tomb full of death? He stood before it in the power of prayer. And here's the question we're asking. As we as a church stand before a world full of death, how do we pray? We pray two ways. Number one, we pray with confidence. Look with me at verse 42. Jesus says, "And I know that you always hear me." Stop. Listen, this is what inspires life in our prayer meetings. If you want your prayer meeting to have life, not just deadness in our prayer meeting where we just come because, you know, that's what we need to do. No. If you want life in your prayer meetings, this is the revelation that we get in our heart. Every time we pray, God hears us. Why am I here to pray? Because I know when I pray, God is going to hear me, and he's going to hear me every time we pray. Every time. Not 99% of the time. Every time we pray, he's going to hear us. And why is he going to hear us? Because we are his sons and his daughters. It all goes back to the book of Luke where the disciples said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And the very first thing Jesus taught them was, when you pray, pray these two words, "Our Father." In other words, what is he doing? Here's what he's doing. He's getting rid of every doubt we may have whether God hears us or not. He's saying, if you have any doubts whether God hears you, you can lay them to rest. He hears you every time you pray because he is your Father. Every time you come into his house to lift up your prayers to the Lord, every time he hears you, that is your confidence. That is the life behind your prayer meeting. You don't want a dead prayer meeting. You're tired of dead prayer meetings. Get that in your heart. I'm here for one reason. He hears me. And he will always hear me when I cry out to him. Amen. That's the difference between a living prayer meeting and a dead prayer meeting. I have a confidence in my heart that when I pray, he hears me. But we not only pray with confidence, but we pray with thankfulness. Look at verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, "Father, I thank you." Why do we pray with thankfulness? Because we pray knowing in all the death we are facing through our prayers, God is going to go into those places of death and raise up testimonies for the glory of God. How do I know that? Back up in the story, he said to Martha, "Did I not tell you if you would only believe, you would see the glory of God?" We don't just pray in confidence, but we pray with a thankful heart that in my prayers, you're going to reach into the tombs, into the places of death, and you're going to bring out a people, and you're going to fill them with life. You're going to take off their chains. You're going to take off their grave clothes, and they are going to be a testimony in our generation of the glory of God. Oh God, I thank you that when I pray, your spirit is moving into the tombs and drawing people from death to life, darkness to light. And in my generation, you're raising up testimonies of what God will do in the life of a surrendered vessel. That's why I thank you. Reminds me of Acts chapter 12. The Bible says that Peter is in prison and he's got chains on. But Acts chapter 12, it literally says these words, "But prayers were being made for him by the church." And because prayers were being made for him by the church, the Bible says suddenly the prison door came open and his chains fell off. What is the lesson that we learned there? Here's the lesson that we learned there. When God's people are calling, the chains are falling. That's the lesson that we learned. When God's people are calling, prison doors are opening. When God's people are calling, chains are falling. When God's people are calling. I guess what I'm trying to lovingly say, many of you don't know me, but I've been the pastor here for 21 years before I passed it on to Pastor Nick and Pastor Pavel. So as a pastor who's been here for 21 years, I'm trying to lovingly tell us, God didn't call us here as a church just to have a service on Sunday morning. If that's what Summit Community Church means to us, we've got a wrong perspective. Yeah, we're here to gather as his people and worship him and celebrate his honor and his faithfulness in his life, but he's also gathered us here as a people with a mission. What's the mission? 1 John 3:8. The Son of Man came to destroy the works of the devil. And that means a life of prayer. Because the good news is when God's people are calling, the chains are falling. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like, Pastor Tim, that was good. And some of you are looking at me like, Pastor Tim, I don't like you very much right now. That's because the only thing, let me say it in love, that's because the only thing Summit Community Church represents to us is just a place where I come on Sunday morning, hear a sermon, go down to lunch and eat spaghetti. I say that in love. But it's so much more than that. We are a people who have given the awesome gift and power of prayer. Why? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to give beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's why we're a church. January 11:32 says the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Number one, we're here as a church to know God intimately. And number two, we're here as a church out of that place of knowing God intimately. We're performing great feats and exploits for the kingdom of God by the power of prayer. Amen. Amen. I'm done. Stand with me this morning. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us as a church. So here's what I'm going to very humbly ask you to do. If you consider Summit Community Church to be your church, or if you're considering Summit Community Church being your church, would you please come and join me in the altar? Right now. Right now. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, teach me to pray. I've been walking with God 25 years now. And almost every day I ask him that. Teach me to pray, because I don't feel like, even though I've been walking with you 25 years, I still don't feel like I know how to pray. God, would you teach me how to pray? And that's what I want to ask as a church. Lord, as a church, would you shape us into that church of prayer that you want us to be? God, would you so graciously take us in your hand and as a church, just begin to shape us into that praying church that you want us to be? And as I pray, could you just agree with me? Talk to the Lord. Listen, there is no heaviness in this message. This isn't about trying to make someone feel guilty because I don't pray. That's not what it's about. No, 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 no. We're one body. And can we just ask the Lord together as a church, would you teach us what it means to be a praying church? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, your disciples came to you. and said, "Oh, Jesus, I see the intimacy you have with God in prayer. I see the authority that you have with God in prayer. I see the power that you have with God in prayer. Jesus, would you teach us to pray?" The disciples saw the life in the prayers of Jesus, and it stirred a thirst in their heart to be people of prayer. And God, I'm just asking you, Lord, we are Summit Community Church, and we come before you with humble hearts to ask you, Lord, as a church, would you just teach us to pray? God, that's where the life is at. That's where the authority is at. That's where the power is at. That's where the supernatural realm is at. God, would you teach us to pray? Lord, we're asking that you would take Summit Community Church in your hands, and you would begin to shape the prayer life of this church, shape the prayer ministry of this church. God. And Father, I thank you for Pastor Pavel and Pastor Nick, two tremendous men of prayer. God, would you give them your mind? God, ultimately, they are our leaders. They lead us into a life of prayer. And I pray that you would just so graciously give them your mind. Lord, the prayer life that they found with you, Lord, that they would lead us into that as a corporate church together. And we would be a people who are one, who pray the mind of God. Lord, help us to understand that the power is not in our programs. Lord, you use programs. You use them, God. But the power behind the program is the power of prayer. God, if you teach us anything, teach us to pray. That's what the disciples were saying. Jesus, don't teach me how to preach. Don't teach me how to cast out devils. Don't teach me how to heal the sick. No. Teach us to pray. Because we recognize that's where the life of your ministry comes from. And God, I'm just asking you, Lord, as your church, would you take Summit Community Church in your hands and so graciously begin to shape our corporate life of prayer together. And God, whatever you accomplish through the ministry of this church, we give you all the glory. It was grace that began the work. It was grace that finished the work. And our only boast is in the grace of God. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the potential that's in the power of prayer. I thank you, God. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, beloved, I'm done. So why don't you take a moment just to tell somebody hello. Good to be with you in church today. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.